There are so many gifted and talented people on this earth. Take you and me. We both have gifts and abilities that other people don't have. But there's something else, something more that we need to make those gifts and talents count for something. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we take another look today at pride from a different perspective. The biggest problem with other people is that they seem to be everywhere in this world. You just can't get away from them. And so often, they drive us crazy because, well, they're just different. They see things differently. They move at a different pace to us. They have different priorities. They go in different directions. You know what I'm talking about, right? And many people find that so annoying, drives them so crazy that relationships, important relationships, like husband-wife relationships, parent-child relationships, manager-employee relationships, end up deeply in the red, bankrupt. That's why there are some people in our lives where it's like there's a brick wall between us and them, and it seems as though it could never be any different. For instance, the closeness and understanding intimacy that was once there in a marriage is gone, and it seems as though it could never come back. But it can, because there is a way of doing it. There is a way of getting it back. There is a way, and it's a way that the Apostle Paul calls the still more excellent way. Today on the program, we're going to chat about that, this still more excellent way. The thing that so often drives us nuts about other people is that they're different. Funny how differences can be annoying. I move quickly, you move slowly. You're more gentle, you're more compassionate, but I'm not. You love to have fun. I love to study and think things through. You're able to think through and fix a practical problem. I'm hopeless at that. The list of differences is endless. And just because you can't do the things I can do, and I can't do the things that you can do, we can end up annoying one another. Instead of rejoicing in the fact that we each bring a different and complementary skill set to the table, we end up getting annoyed with one another because you can't do it the way I do it and I can't do it the way you would do it. When we look at it this way, you realize how dumb that is, the way we carry on. But so many people live their lives that way, even though it's dumb. In fact, it's so common and so dumb that God makes sure that there's almost a whole chapter in the Bible about this very thing. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying when he paints this picture that together we're a body. Even though we're all different, we're all part of that one body. We look different, we behave differently, and we have different functions and purposes and skills and abilities, but we're all meant to be part of that one body. Have another listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 14. Indeed, the body doesn't consist of just one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," does that make it any less part of the body? And if the ear said, "Look, I'm not an eye, so I don't belong to the body," that wouldn't make it any less part of the body now, would it? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God's arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you," nor again the head to the feet, "I don't need you." See, here's the problem stated so clearly. We're all bickering at one another because we're different. So what's the answer? Well, Paul finishes this chapter off with some rhetorical questions and a teaser that takes us on to the answer. He says, are all of us apostles? Are all of us prophets? Are all of us teachers? Do all of us work miracles? Do all of us possess gifts of healing? Do we all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? To which the answer is, well, no, obviously not. And he says, but strive for the greater gifts and I will show you a still more excellent way. Okay, so what is this more excellent way that he's talking about? What is it? How do we finally get over ourselves and start living a life that really counts? Well, Paul comes straight off the back of this teaser with the answer, the very next chapter, chapter 13, and he shows us this more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, he says, "If I were to speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but didn't have love, well, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I don't have love, then I'm nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I don't have love, then I gain nothing." Paul's saying, don't matter how clever, how talented, how wealthy you are, unless you live out who you are in love, in genuine love, it doesn't mean diddly squat. But how do we live out our lives in genuine love? What does love look like? Well, Paul goes on to tell us. He says, love's patient. It's kind. It's not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And now, there are faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. You know something? As we let those words sink in, all our arrogance and self-importance just melts away, doesn't it? All of a sudden we realize, man, this person who's been driving me nuts, look at what they're capable of. Look at how truly wonderful they are. And if I can just get over myself and stop carrying on like a pork chop, then all that will open up to me. Sure, they'll still annoy me sometimes, but that's okay. I don't have to win anymore. I don't have to come out on top. They don't have to be like me. I don't have to be the one who gets my way so I can tell other people about it. And the love that God's put in my heart, it bears all things. You know what? I really can believe the best of them. I really can bring out the best in them. Do you get that? Isn't this so much better than the old way? Isn't this so much better than the hand saying to the foot, "I don't need you"? Isn't this so much better than whinging and complaining about people just because they're different to us? And when they do that thing that really annoys us, we can smile to ourselves and know that we can cope with it and love them through it. Because when we let God's word have sway in our hearts, we just end up doing some serious growing up. Our life only counts when it counts in the hearts and the lives of other people. And we can only make a difference in their hearts when we accept them and love them and honour them and cherish them just the way they are. And then when that happens, something really strange comes out of that. Something really weird goes on. All of a sudden, God sets us free to be who God made us to be. Right there in the middle of the body, we can do the thing that we were made to do. If an eye, then we see. If we're a nose, we can do the smelling. If we're a foot, then we can make the body walk. If we're an ear, then we do the hearing. All of a sudden, we're free to be who God made us to be. John chapter 12, verse 22 says this, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." When we start valuing these people around us over and above ourselves, when we die to self, all of a sudden, we start bearing fruit. It's only when we finally get over ourselves that we can live a life that truly counts. The Word of God is alive and active, amen, with the power to transform your life, to help you become all that God made you to be. And that's what the Fresh Daily Devotional is all about. It's completely free, and I'd love to send it to you. Each day you'll receive a life-changing scripture together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to your inbox, where you can choose to read it, listen to the message, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. Remember, God's word is the power to change. It's fresh for you each day. You can subscribe to receive your free daily devotional at freshdevotional.org. And as a bonus, we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook,
how can I hear God speak to me? My prayer is that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through the power of His Word. Again, that web address is freshdevotional.org. God bless you. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.